calling the Finance Administration Committee meeting to order. We can have the roll call, please.
Committee Chair Director Banks.
Here.
Director Moore.
Here.
Director Fredo.
Here.
Director Wiseman.
Here.
Do you have a form?
Thank you. First item on the agenda is our minutes from our meeting held on April 28th. Those minutes haven't been distributed. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Moving on to finance, Mr. Gelsch.
Thank you. Good morning, directors. Finance has one item on finance administration. The Finance Administration Committee this morning, it's award of merchant card services contract to Fifth Third Processing Solutions. The Illinois Tollway accepts merchant card payments for Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, and affiliates for its iPass violation programs and miscellaneous payments made to the tollway. Fifth Third was awarded this contract for merchant card processing in 2007 through an RFP process. The contract had an initial three-year term with 2 one-year optional renewals. The initial contract period ended December 31st, 2010. Last year, the board authorized a renewal option for 2011 with the understanding that we would go back out and issue a new RFP, a new procurement for these services, which we undertook in February of this year. Six proposals were received as a result of that RFP. Two of the proposals did not include the Board of Elections certificate. Four proposals were evaluated for their technical scoring. Of those proposals evaluated for technical provisions, two met the minimum criteria and were eligible to have their pricing evaluated. Fifth Third Processing Solutions was the what had the highest score for price and technical merit, and therefore is our recommendation with respect to award of these services. The estimated cost for 3 years beginning August 1, which is the estimated date we would transition to the new contract, August 1 of 2011 through July of 2014. The estimated cost of the merchant card services is $35 million. It's important to note that most of that is a pass-through to Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express. That roughly 2.5% of the amount are fees that are actually paid to Fifth Third that they retain for processing services. We would, as a part of this item, reduce the authorization for the prior resolution that was passed last year so that we don't have double funding. So we would reduce the item that you passed back at the end of last year by $4 million to reflect what would be covered under the new contract, so that we would not have funded these services twice. That finance recommends approval of this item to be placed on the board's consent.
So moved.
Second.
I have one question, just curious. Where it says proposals rejected for Bank of America and Wells, what is, did not include Board of Elections certification?
Is there required certification that they filed, that they need to file with the Board of Elections, the State Board of Elections, that needs to be included in their procurement packet or their response.
Their proposal.
We often see, too, this was something that I think was a result of some of the changes to Senate Bill 51, is that correct? That procurement reform prior to that, that they had to include the Board of Elections certificate. We, you know, tried to take steps to create checklists for vendors, so that they should know to include these, but we frequently have, I think, diminishing numbers, but still vendors' bids and proposals being thrown out because they forget to include them. One thing that we have, there is some committee in Springfield right now, headed up by Senator Harmon, that's looking at procurement, and we have raised with him, as other agencies have, that this particular provision does seem to be, you know, we should be able to check to see that they're in good standing, but it does seem to get get a fair number of proposals thrown out because vendors forget to include it.
Well, it just seems you got the two biggest banks in the country.
Right. Who are now not.
Berkeley and Westwood made that mistake.
Right. But who now we can't even review the proposal because it's not a curable.
Yeah, statute says you shall include that certificate with your proposal.
And I think, John, aren't you, I mean, we put bold print and stuff.
Yeah, it's wallpaper.
And you have a meeting ahead of time. It is a significant problem because here's two of the biggest banks in the United States making the error. And in the past, it was always thought, well, they're smaller companies that maybe made the error. And we don't know whether we would have gotten a better deal or not because the proposal in essence is hardly open, right?
Right, you don't open. Once you get to that point, you see it's not there, you don't look any further. You don't even evaluate them from a technical standpoint.
I would note that Alavon is an affiliate or wholly owned subsidiary of US Bank, so.
Oh, so we got them all the big ones there.
Hey, just to me, you're throwing out two big players.
Well, you know, the Secretary of State provides a service to banks that look at corporations when they're borrowing money and they have a status that suggests that they're in good standing with the state. Perhaps the Board of Election could do something very simple like that, that would allow it to be monitored.
It is something that we certainly have the ability to go and check ourselves. It's just a matter of that this particular, you know, some would say technical requirement that the certificate is actually in the proposal submission packet, and if it's not, it's not a curable. At this point in time for us, our hands are tied. We really can't move any further. But you're right, we have raised the idea, as several other agencies have, that because it is available information, it's something that could be checked. And of course, if they're not in good standing or haven't done the correct thing, then they wouldn't be competing, but it wouldn't necessarily be a piece of paper that gets them thrown out if they don't.
Because I know both of these, 5 and 6, you qualify to do bond issues for the state of Illinois, so obviously somewhere there's the proper forms in place. And I think at least one of them is on our approved list of bond issuing units.
Would it be helpful for us to actually have the board ask management to send a memo to Senator Harmon expressing our...
We have sent a memo to Senator Harmon, so and have included in there that the board, and in our communication with them, have indicated, as you all have, your frustration with the fact that we do seem to get a smaller group of bidders. Sometimes they're eligible for these opportunities. Yeah.
This one, though, would be a good one to maybe highlight because, as Director Banks pointed out, these are two big-time players, and what you might, I think there's a term in law called Scrivener's error or something to that effect, and this is probably a minor error that somebody putting the packet together made. But apparently the way you interpret the rules is that once we hit that page, it's a stop. We can't proceed any further. So this might be a good example. This is a $35 million contract. This isn't a vending machine contract for soda pop in the downstairs lounge.
So when you come to that page and this isn't there, you can't contact them and say, hey, you didn't...
Correct. When the statute was first passed, there was a cure period, like I think the first 6 months. We had 5 days to let vendors correct it. And then after that 6 months had expired, there was no cure period. And Christy's referencing the procurement committee right now. I know they're discussing a lot of the changes that took place in Senate Bill 51, like communications reporting. And this is a hot item as well. You know, they have a lot of constituents that are complaining about this requirement. And the state has several examples where they had to throw out the little bid just because they didn't submit a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of ridiculous, and hopefully they do change that law, whereas if they're registered, we will accept them.
Yeah, maybe just reestablishing the five-day period even would be helpful.
It seems like there wasn't necessarily a harm in curing it to the extent that it's important that we have an actual copy of the certificate. Right. Didn't create a real...
Because it's not like we're letting them adjust their numbers.
Right.
This is simply a one-page form or two-page form.
To document something that they've either done or not done, and there's not really a way for them to do it.
It won't change their financial bid at all.
Correct.
It doesn't get to the content.
Correct.
I have a quick question. So is Fifth Third Bank then replacing all the other, like American Expresses and Cover?
No, American Express and Discover. This is only the fifth, third portion of the...
So we still have those other agreements.
It's possible that Discover will choose to be processed under the fifth, third contract. But right now, we'll settle through the fifth, third, but right now Discover and American Express are both required to settle directly.
Okay.
But our customers can still use the major credit cards.
Yes.
Yes, that's important that we make sure we have, I think that's what you're trying to get to, is that...
The other two will continue to run under the preceding contract.
May I, you said that it's, most of the fees go to the underlying companies. Is this 2%? It's the 2% of the
2.5%
of the $35 million that actually goes in?
I think it's around $300,000 per year.
That's what Fifth Third quote makes on the transactions. The rest is all to American Express, whoever owns that credit card. Yeah, because look, we got all year and a half ago, Mike and I had a long discussion on this, and this is millions of dollars, and it came down to $180,000, which is still a lot of money, but it's really a pass through, and it makes our iPass system much more effective to be able to use the credit card. So it's really something we don't we want to improve the bidding issue, but we want to make sure we encourage people to use iPass in any way possible.
Did we have any issues with them that we got improvements from? I mean, one of the things we talked about is maybe automatically notifying customers if their balances get low and that kind of thing.
We have been working with them on an account updater. I don't know if that's
included in this.
Okay, so we did.
It's not up and running yet, but we actually have it up.
Would you make sure, if and when that does get up and running, you maybe make a short presentation so we're aware, because that's an important, we talked about that both at the board and the customer service committee, so that's important.
We'll be talking a little bit about it in board.
Okay.
Part of our performance initiative update.
And were there any other things that just happened to remain in my head? Were there any other improvements? Everything else is fine.
Oh, it worked well. Move the question.
Okay. Anything else? Is there a motion?
Is so made.
Ready? Moved and seconded. All in favor?
All right.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Is that it for finance?
Yes.
Business systems?
Good morning. Renewal of the contract for the Toll Revenue Management and Maintenance Program, otherwise known as TRUMP. We are recommending to exercise the second one-year renewal option with ECCC, the Toll Revenue Management and Maintenance Program. TRUMP encompasses our full electronic tolling infrastructure from lanes to the back office and is essential to our continued ability to collect revenue. As you recall, we are actively working to replace most of the back office in the coming several years, but in the meantime, we believe the continuation of our full TRUMP program is our strongest task. We are seeking a renewal with a dollar limit of $12,059,012. This amount would cover several key contract improvements we are seeking to leverage in the coming year and compares favorably with the dollar limit increase from our renewal request last year. If you do click through this and you go to the PowerPoint, which is actually attached to the bottom of the normal.
Are other directors having difficulty getting to this?
Yes, I am.
You have to close out and start again.
You have to close and start over again.
Yeah, somewhere you're not linking to the agenda. It's a problem.
I have a high tech consultant next to me.
I found
that. When is our restart? When is our restart?
Yeah. Close out. For some reason, it's not linking to the agenda.
I don't know what I did, but I got it.
It's probably getting to that.
I'm good.
Okay.
All right. Sure. Thank you.
All right. I got to tell you, what is the $12 for? I know this is a little maybe overly accurate, but we had some carryover that we accounted for from the last total increase. So,
$12,059,012.
So, you meant right here, so you're talking about that $12.
Yeah.
Can we almost get lunch?
On the first page of the PowerPoint, we describe the new contract items that are part of this renewal. So the first is a dedicated team of developers, which is a really important aspect of this to us. This will enable us to move away from kind of the start and stop nature of the system work that we do, because right now, the way the contract has been set up thus far, we can draw from the national pool of system developers. And it's a much more spotty service situation, where it takes us longer to develop things because it's not the same people working with us day in and day out. So we are very excited to make this part of the renewal agreement. The second item is enhanced infrastructure management. This is in the form of a technical manager who is dedicated part-time. We absolutely must address over the coming year key concerns related to data storage space, disaster recovery, and other similar topics. So the dedication of a technical manager who understands these topics and can work with us consistently is going to make a big difference in what we're able to accomplish. The third thing there is infrastructure training for tollway staff. While our tollway staff has become rather expert at using the back office system for processing purposes, we have not been as involved as we would like to be in maintaining the day-to-day functionality and maintenance of the system. And having ETCZ train our tollway staff to become more involved and more empowered is going to help us play a larger role in system optimization efforts over time. The fourth item there is a plan for system monitoring. Although we have a good system in place to monitor our equipment, and we get immediate notification when anything goes down in the lane, our system for monitoring the back office piece is not nearly as sophisticated. And ETCC has agreed to work with us to develop a plan so that when things happen from a processing perspective in that back office part, we'll know soon enough to intervene and make changes instead of finding out a few days or even weeks later. And then finally, updated infrastructure diagrams. I know that those sound very exciting. It's very exciting to us. There are almost 100 of them, and they're outdated. And the fact that we have kind of confirmed that ETCC will work with us to update them is part of our big effort to become more empowered in managing our own system.
Can you go back to the slide before?
No.
The timeline slide? No, that's the next slide.
So, the dollar limit slide.
I'm on that one.
The $12.
Right. I wanted to talk through a little bit because I thought that it was important to understand how this renewal request compares to last year. So last year we thought an $11 million contract limit increase. And this year, when it's comparing up the same types of contract line items, it's a little over $10 million that we really need. The $2 million in there is for the five new ORT zones, so Balmoral, and then those four on Route 47. And
assuming that that goes forward, I mean, some of this is budgeting for looking forward, just so that in case we need the dollars, they're available. Clearly, we know we'll need more.
Can you explain to me, like, four at Route 47? It's like, why would you have four at one intersection?
I would have to defer to someone in engineering or planning to help explain that.
I know it depends on which ramps we're going to be told on.
So it could be each of four ramps. That's why Balmoral is only one, because
correct,
it's only one new ramp.
Okay.
So the $2 million there is actually, I think 50% of it will be shared from a cost perspective with the community. And it is not terribly likely that we would complete all five in this contract year. It's that this is a really good safety margin, so that if indeed we start having to construct or purchase equipment or move forward, or in even more unlikely scenario, hopefully, we have a massive snowstorm that knocks out even more antennas than were knocked out this last year with the big snowstorm, we at least have a little bit of a safety margin there. So this accounts for the $12 million in renewal that we're seeking.
So from last year to June of this year, we were going to spend $11 million in additional For the contract limit, right.
But why do we have phase three maintenance and phase three maintenance? Do we do every year we have to do phase three maintenance?
Yes, that is the work that gets done, and a lot of that's lane maintenance every single day to keep the entire electronic system running. So that includes cleaning the cameras, fixing the coin machines.
So why is it called phase three? It seems like we're doing phase three over and over again.
I think it goes back to the original contract when there were
phase three.
Correct. And so it just
maintenance
continues
of phase
to rename
okay.
it.
Could we rename it lane maintenance?
It's a little more than
that,
effect, but
though?
We could, yeah. Sure.
Okay.
I would like to. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I would just like to point out that this is something that, that our committee dealt with for a long time, and this is a better negotiation, a better success than we had last year. And I'd like to compliment the folks that did this because we really struggled last year to keep them under $11 million. And this year, if you take out the five new zones, we are comfortably under that amount. And this is a contract that we have to have in place while we get prepared to switch over. But I think if you could, Shauna, just we could be another year or two away from kind of redoing this whole process. And if you could just take a second and explain that. Because at one time we were thinking it would be done within a year. And I think we need to make it clear that what we're doing here.
In February, we had talked through the timeline for our plans for improving electronic tolling, and I believe on one of the computers that's driving the screen, perfect, we have the timeline on hand. Just to remind everybody, I'm going to step up here, point things out. This is our Trump renewal. So this is what we're seeking here, and these are optional ones for the future. This line shows when our back office system implementation would be completed. So that's kind of that first quarter of 2014. But all of this is starting to happen right now. We're working on business rules, the defining of the requirements that become the RFPs, and kind of a real evaluation of the technical marketplace out there so that we can make sure we put into place something that really is above and beyond what we've been operating on.
And I think from our committee's perspective, if we were to reconvene, I think we would be comfortable with this because our main concern was oversight and maintenance and management of the contract, and that has been much tighter the last 8 months. And as long as that stays in place, it's better to do this because I think an ultimate result as well will be instead of one humongous contract, we will have a couple of contracts with different components. So it will give us a little more competition because where we were headed was that there was only really three firms, maybe two, that would have even competed for this work. By breaking the contract down technically, we will get more activity and therefore hopefully get some better pricing and better technology.
Right. And I think that those are strategic decisions too, that as we go through the RFI process and learn more about, you know, what's out there, we'll be able to, you know, engage you more in that discussion and under the new committee structure that I know we're going to be talking about again here later in the meeting. I really want to just say that, thank you so much to Joe and Shauna, who did, I think, a really good job of negotiating a much better deal, a deal that gets us more transparency and ultimately ability to run the operations ourselves and more transparency into what's going on. I'm always a little bit, as we all are, I think, nervous about the prospect of having a major system that controls so much of our revenue that our own staff doesn't have much ability to run, manage, impact, or know what's going on with. And I think that through, you know, your leadership, and really thank you very much, I think made some significant progress to having that here. And as you mentioned, Director, I think a better contract management situation with the vendor as well. So thank you very much for that hard work. I know that it was.
I did have one other question, and that's the MB participation, which the goal was 10%. They've only achieved 7.5%. First of all, I think the goal 10%, and maybe historically, I can have said historically why you started with the low 10%, but Was there any discussion about increasing that in terms of the renewal?
We did discuss it, and actually, I can talk a little bit about both of those questions. The reason that they have not achieved the full 10% yet has a little bit to do with just the timing of this. We had negotiated that 10% last year. They got up and running with it in November, and this is through March. So they're actually on track to hit the 10% before the end of this contract year. With respect to possibly increasing it, when we have those discussions, we thought that actually we've had a very good experience working with them just for the 10%, because this is not a common contract for the BEP program. There are three aspects that make it pretty uncommon. The first is a large part of this is for equipment. Well over 40% of this contract is equipment related. That does not lend itself to the BEP program. The other part is it's very complex and proprietary. So the types of things that a lot of technology firms, like if we were working with Oracle, it would be very easy for them to bring in the BEP vendor because so many people are trained on Oracle and they can work on it. That's not the case here. There is no subcontractor that they could just outsource some programming to. And then the third part is this is a very unique contract. It's very broad. It encompasses a lot of kind of leading edge technologies, and it doesn't lend itself to the type of market analysis and disparity studies that are typical of BEP programs. So this 10% really, I think, represents a negotiation that occurred last year with ETCC and their willingness to work with us. And I know they've not always been a perfect partner, but we've actually been pleased with their work on that.
Yeah, I think it's important. Originally, they didn't have any set aside. So this is
just
in the last year that we were able to get this implementation.
I don't think for the budget, you said how much of it was parts? Because I see a large part is just M&O budget.
About, which just is historically. I'm going from the $92 million.
Okay, I'm just looking for the renewal amount. Most of it is maintenance.
Correct.
Okay, it's not parts.
That is true, because some of these dollar limits carry forward. This isn't necessary. This isn't exactly the budget. This is the contract limit. But if you just historically, from the 92 plus million that we've spent so far, well over 40% has been spent on hardware. So all the things that go into
it. Which would be a reason that historically it may have been a challenge. I think one of the reasons that the tollway put the 10% requirement on last year was that that was, I think, the best effort to get started on.
So is it 10% of the amount we're adding for the renewal?
Yes.
Or are you saying 10% of the original? Now we're at $92 million.
No, it's 10% of this particular portion. I don't think we'll get to a point where we'll have
10%
of the entire
contract. Yeah, I don't think
we're going
to get to that, but that's why I'm saying, so when you talk about 10% goal, 10% goal is going to be achieved within the renewed amount, which is mostly for maintenance. And I guess I'm asking, aren't there more minority vendors out there that can subcontract vis-a-vis some of this maintenance work for some of this work?
All of our lane maintenance is subcontracted. That is the 10% to a firm called Smart Tech, the BEP firm here based in Chicago.
I think maybe part of this is a communications problem, and if we could, maybe and come back next. I mean, we have to approve this today, but if we could come back, if we could take this slide and the section where it says M&O budget,
sure.
And if that could be broken out to show what is hardware, what is not hardware, that would give us a better understanding for this issue. And then I think, just as a side note, I think it gives you the ability to go back to them when you negotiate next year and say 10% is not acceptable. Let's work toward a higher percentage for next year's, the following year's renewal in terms of our public policy goals. But I think if you could break that out, because it is a little, we see maintenance as $5.879 million, and I think a lot of that might be equipment. So if we could break that out.
Is that equipment? It's not.
And I think Sean's point, too, of this being very proprietary technology, it's a system specifically designed by this firm for us. It's not a platform that's readily understood by a wide sector of the population. But clearly, you know, the fact that the board was so clear about wanting diversity goals on the contract helped to leverage that for last year's contract. We've continued with the same amounts, but ultimately I think in next year's renewal too can be looking toward, you know, what does the marketplace show as a reasonable expectation you know, to the extent we can just, you know, discern one that's, you know, higher than 10%, I think we'd like to try to be as aggressive as possible and looking for diversity.
Right. And I think, too, if they know that's coming, they may be able to start working with some minority vendors and train them